Hello, this is the Global News Podcast from the BBC World Service with reports and analysis from across the world. The latest news 7 days a week. BBC World Service podcasts are supported by advertising.
With DoorDash, you can now get even more delivered to your door. Groceries, self-care, restaurants, and snacks. With $0 delivery fees on your first order. Get more from your neighborhood delivered with DoorDash. Terms apply. Visit DoorDash.com.
This is Andrew Peach with the Happy Pod, where we talk to the people at the heart of the world's happiest news stories. And this week, we learn some new happy words like this from Anu Ojava in Tbilisi in Georgia.
Shemo me llama.
And this from Asum in Madrid in Spain.
Sobre mesa.
To find out what they mean and how you can get involved, stay with us. Also on the way in the Happy Pod, we'll hear from Tallahassee, Mexico City, Berlin and Seoul. There's one big tech story everyone's been talking about, but where did it all start?
It was a homebrew bucket full of massage oil. With a computer dangling in it, an Argos radiator and a fishpond pump.
We've got advice from Harvard University, where they've been studying happiness for decades.
Reach out and send a little text or an email. Make plans to have a coffee or take a walk. Any of those small actions turn out to really make a difference in what we're calling our social fitness.
And does Alison have the world's happiest job?
It does involve getting up quite early, generally with the sunrise. And then you kind of finish when the sun sets, so they're long days.
Those stories and more on the way in the Happy Pod. Across the world, scientists and engineers are under pressure to come up with new and environmentally friendly ways to power the planet. This week, all eyes were on a fairly average public swimming pool in the southeast of England, with a far from average solution to spiralling heating bills. A small data centre the size of a washing machine has been installed at Exmouth Leisure Centre by the tech firm Deep Green. This collection of computers generates enough heat to warm the pool to around 30 Celsius 60% of the time. It's a win-win as well because the process means the firm doesn't have to pay for an expensive cooling system and the leisure centre gets the heat free of charge. Sounded like a pretty happy story to us, so we wanted to find out more. I began by asking the man behind it all, Mark Bjørnskaard, how he got the idea.
It was a friend and I in the pub. That's how it started. An idle conversation in the pub. And then the first prototype was this incredible contraption. It was a proper kind of British garden shed moment. It was a homebrew bucket full of massage oil with a computer dangling in it. And an Argos radiator and a fishpond pump. So that was the, I've still got it in my shed. That was the first prototype. And then fast forward 5 years, and there's a fully fledged data center in Exmouth Leisure Center, heating 60% of the pool, saving the pool £20,000 a year. What I love about it is the fact that we're giving something away for free, but you're obviously everyone benefits.
People have ideas in pubs and wine bars and coffee shops the world over saying, well, what about this? What was it that made you actually try it?
I love the idea of breaking a mold, so sort of challenging a convention. But the reality is most business, you know, there's that saying of 95% perspiration, 5% inspiration. Most of it is just keeping going. You know, that is the truth of and life, really, isn't it? The backstory is that data centers generate a lot of heat and they struggle to get rid of that heat, an enormous amount of heat. They're 3% of all carbon emissions. And most data centers work by just blowing cool air over the computers. What we figured out way back 5 years ago when we were dangling that computer in a homebrew bucket was that you can immerse computers entirely in oil and they don't blow up. That oil heats up. I've sort of compared it to C-3PO in Star Wars, you know, having his oil bath. So that's what we do. We immerse all the computers in oil and then we flow that oil through what's called a heat exchanger that takes the hot oil and transfers the heat into the cold pool.
How did that moment feel? Because that's almost the eureka moment of this whole thing, isn't it?
I mean, that's fun. I mean, whenever you have that sort of big unlock, that's fun. But actually, the real kind of happiness was actually seeing it live in Exmouth. I saw the installation about 8 weeks ago when I really was quite emotional. I've never experienced that in business where, I mean, partly relief, but also to get to it, you have to sort of walk through the pool. So you have to see all people kind of enjoying themselves and kids in the pool and your grand doing aqua aerobics. So you have to sort of see the benefit before you see it. And yeah, I don't mind sort of saying it was quite emotional, I must admit.
Let's take it to the next level. If you can do this in one swimming pool in one leisure centre, this could change the way that swimming pools and other things are heated the world over, couldn't it?
Whenever an entrepreneur says to you, oh, I've got this great idea, or you have your idea in the pub, it seems like a big idea, but this really is enormous. I mean, if we took all of Europe's data centres, we still would only heat 5% of Europe's homes. So when you kind of put the context of the challenge of home heating into it, then you can actually see how, this technology is applicable really everywhere.
And where do you take this now in terms of continuing the journey of scaling this up?
Well, I'm good at the zero to one bit. And again, it kind of comes back to a principle of happiness, doesn't it? Kind of know what you're good at, know what you're not so good at. As the business scales, I'll almost certainly hand over the reins because that isn't really my skill. And actually, it's not what makes me happy, really. What makes me happy is figuring out and trying to change the brain chemistry of people and trying to kind of look at things differently. So that's the passion. That's where I get my kicks, I suppose.
Gotta love Mark's energy. And of course, he's now working on something new, so we look forward to having him back on the Happy Pod to hear all about it. The happy news from the Oscars now. No one read out the wrong result, and there were no fights on the stage. The night in Los Angeles belonged to the sci-fi fantasy Everything Everywhere All at Once, with 7 wins, including Best Picture, Best Director, and 3 of the 4 acting categories. Michelle Yeoh is the first Asian woman to be named Best Actress.
For all the little boys and girls who look like me watching tonight, this is the beacon of hope and possibilities. This is proof that dreams dream big and dreams do come true. And ladies, don't let anybody tell you you are ever past your prime. Never give up.
Wins 2 for Michelle's co-stars, Jamie Lee Curtis with Best Supporting Actress and Kei-Hee Kwan with an emotional acceptance speech for Best Supporting Actor after a 2-decade break from performing.
My journey started on a boat. I spent a year in a refugee camp. And somehow, I ended up here on Hollywood's biggest stage. My mom is 84 years old, and she's at home watching. Mom, I just won an Oscar!
A former professional Australian surfer has broken the world record for the longest surf session. Blake Johnston is thought to have ridden more than 500 waves during his watery marathon as he raises money for youth mental health projects. He's eclipsed the previous record of 30 hours and 11 minutes at Cronulla Beach in Sydney. As we record this podcast, he's still going, hoping to do 40.
Yeah, I've still got a job to do though. I said 40, so we'll go and give it a crack. Yeah, pretty cooked. Yeah, thank you. Thanks. Oh, I can't talk. Thanks, everyone. You're the best. Everyone deserves to feel awesome. So deserve to, take care of yourselves. And
best of luck to Blake. Now, when we ask if you'll send in the sounds that make you happy, I'll be honest, we weren't expecting this.
Und hier kommt die Präambel der anonymen AlkoholikerInnen, die besagt, was AA ist und was es nicht ist. Anonyme AlkoholikerInnen sind eine Gemeinschaft von Menschen.
If you're not familiar with these words, it's the preamble, the words that start Alcoholics Anonymous meetings around the world. Julia listens to us in Berlin. We're just able to use her first name here, as she tells us why this is the sound that makes her happy.
The reason why I love the sound of the preamble read at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous is it symbolizes for me that from a person who wanted to die and for whom life was cheap and meaningless, I have become a person who wants to live and who can contribute to the world and for whom life has become rich and colorful and worth living. I have become a person who can contribute to life constructively, make the world a better place. Actually, now I am the person who can, enrich situations. And that's really, that's the jackpot of a life,
When we did the invitation for people to send in the sounds that make them happy, I thought we might get some sounds of children and wildlife and those kind of things. We were a little bit surprised to get the sound of someone's unborn baby in Canada, and we were a bit surprised to get the sound of the knife sharpeners in the town square in Argentina, because I've not heard that before. I don't think we imagined for a second that we would get the sound of the preamble from an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. And I suppose the reason you wouldn't have expected that is you might think of that as being a negative thing. I don't know. You obviously don't. And I, now you talk about it, I'm beginning to see why.
Yeah. Everybody thinks that alcoholics are really hopeless. And this is, I mean, even for me, I've been in AA now for 37 years. And today in my family, they look at me sometimes at family parties, I mean, over the years, and they would look at me and my children, especially my children, because they were so sure my children were going to be messed up, completely messed up. So they look at me and they look at my children and say, oh, my God, you've really turned out well. Like with this look of awe and surprise, because it's such a terrible disease and it's so hopeless. And people don't think that these kind of changes are actually possible. And so there's so much hope.
And do you really put
that,
the hope that you're describing and the improvements that you've made in your life, do you put that down to going to the meetings and to going to them regularly for so long?
People always say, you're still going to these meetings? You know, you don't need it. The chance I get in meetings is to save lives every day, because it makes a complete difference if I go to a meeting and I go up to a newcomer, a young woman, and I say hi to her. I welcome her warmly. I give her my telephone number, and I look her in the eyes. I say, I'm glad you're here. Give me a call whenever you feel like it, and you're always welcome. And to mean it. I mean, I go to AA now. I'm an old timer. I'm an old cat. I'm like, but I know that I'm so important to people, because people look at me with so much hope, and they say, well, she can do it. I can do it. And it's really like that. And what AA is doing for me, which is priceless, is that every day I can be really, really useful.
Julia, it was great talking to you. Thank you for listening to The Happy Pod. Our email address, globalpodcast@bbc.co.uk. There are studies pretty much every week into what makes a happy life. This is the world's longest, running at Harvard University since 1938. Surprise, surprise, the key isn't money, what you do for a living, or even your hobbies. Happiness is all about our relationships with other people. Dr. Robert Waldinger is director of the Harvard Study of Adult Development.
One of the strongest predictors, perhaps the strongest predictor of human thriving, is having good connections with other people. The best hypothesis is that relationships, good ones, help us manage stress. That stress is a natural part of life. We go into fight or flight mode. Our bodies ramp up when we meet a stressor, but then we're meant to come back to baseline. And what we've found is that social isolation, loneliness, not having good relationships, creates a kind of chronic stress situation where our bodies never go back to equilibrium. Whereas if we have good relationships, we have people we can turn to, talk to, get help from when we are under stress. Depending on who we are, the number of people we need in our life varies tremendously. Shy people find being with lots of people stressful, whereas extroverts want lots of people. They get energy from many relationships. What we believe from our research is that everybody needs at least one relationship that feels secure. At one point, we asked people, list all the people in your life who you could call at 3 o'clock in the morning if you were sick or scared. And most of our participants could list a number of people, but some people couldn't list anyone. And what our data show is that everybody needs at least one or two people in their lives who they feel will be there for them when the going gets tough. Invest in relationships. Really reach out and keep current with the people who you want to stay in your life. You know, reach out and send a little text or an email. Make plans to have a coffee or take a walk. Any of those small actions turn out to really make a difference in what we're calling our social fitness. Seeing it as a practice like physical fitness where you take care of your relationships actively.
So if friends and family are the key to happiness, who is the person in your life that makes you happy? We'd love to hear about them. globalpodcast@bbc.co.uk. We also love hearing the sounds that make you happy. This is Joyous from Madison McCoy, who's a student at Florida State University in Tallahassee. Madison shares a house with 20 other girls, so the sound that makes her happy is when they're all together watching the TV. They're watching the US drama The Last of Us here, and Madison's graduating soon and says she'll really miss these happy times.
Hi, this is Turgay from Vienna, Austria. The best sound for me is the sound of nature. The birds singing, other animals joining, the wind blowing through the leaves of the trees, water flowing. I find this very harmonious and relaxing.
Thanks, Turgay. Good to hear, too, from Pablo in Mexico City, who says this is the sound that makes him happy. It's his two-year-old daughter, Paloma, pretending to be a monster and trying to scare her six-month-old brother, Diego. Email globalpodcast@bbc.co.uk. This is The Happy Pod with me, Andrew Peach. On the way, how a robot elephant is helping the real thing.
This elephant can flap its ears, lift its trunk to give blessings, even the pupils and the eyelid flashes.
And we've got some unique words coming up from Japan, Finland and Sweden. Tourette's syndrome causes someone to make involuntary sounds and movements. Now the results of a clinical trial to try to control those tics have been described as extremely promising. It's a wrist device which delivers electrical pulses. 13-year-old Milo has been trying it out and told us how it's helping him.
It's like a watch and you just strap it on, put these pads on, and it sends these little electrical shocks in your arm. And the best way I can describe it is almost like a TV. Imagine if a TV static was on your arm. And I thought it worked really well. I mean, it certainly, I ticked less frequently when I had it on and even afterwards, and it was suddenly less severe. So I think I tick a few times a day and it would just, I mean, it would just really help. There are so many times where, well, I've just not been able to do things or I've had to step out in the cinema to take, and to be able, the fact that you can just like put it on and then you can just do all these things, it's marvellous.
Best wishes to Milo. A ballet performance in Seoul ended with France's most notable ballet company appointing the first black dancer to its highest rank, the danse étoile, or star dancer. Harry Bly has the story.
The distinguished danseur étoile is given to those who demonstrate rare excellence in their ballet. It's described as the supreme title, earned not by competition, but by outstanding performance in a leading role. It was during a performance of Giselle, a romantic but tragic ballet, telling the story of Duke Albrecht of Silesia falling in love with a shy peasant girl named Giselle at a theatre in the South Korean capital, Seoul. And just before the curtain fell, officials from the Paris Opera Ballet came on stage to announce that 23-year-old Guillaume Diop, who played Albrecht, was receiving this high honour. Guillaume, seemingly unaware that this was about to happen, buries his face in his hands as his fellow dancers applaud and embrace him. This appointment is special for a few reasons. It's the first time a black performer has received the title. Guillaume is half Senegalese on his father's side. He is also one of only a handful of dancers to have been promoted directly to the top rank, skipping the previous rank of premier danseur. Guillaume began his ballet career at just 4 years old and has played a number of leading roles in Bayadère, Don Quixote, Swan Lake and Romeo and Juliet. Reacting to his new title, Guillaume told Le Figaro newspaper that he had not been expecting it, and hoped his achievement would reassure the parents of children like him who wanted to follow a career in ballet.
Now, the hashtag happy is proving pretty helpful as we search for the world's happiest stories for our podcast. This week it was used by Alison, who posted a picture of her windowsill with a cup of tea, piece of cake and a book. Outside in the picture it's raining, but there are also green fields because Alison is a shepherdess.
I've been outside farming in the morning and it was pouring down with rain lashing. And I've been reading a brilliant book by Melissa Harrison called Rain, about appreciating the rain and how beautiful it is. Same time, I've been baking a cake because a friend was coming to visit who I hadn't seen for a long time. And just the pouring down outside, the fact I was inside where it's warm, because I spend most of my life outside being a farmer, and baking this cake, anticipating a friend and watching the rain through the window just made me incredibly happy.
And tell me a little bit about your job, because being a shepherd sounds pretty hard work. I suspect it involves a lot of outside time, a lot of early mornings, all sorts of things that might be quite hard going.
Yes, it does. I've been farming here on my own. I am the farmer or shepherdess for 24 years now. So it's very hard work. I love it. And I have to say it's something that I feel very lucky to do. And it does involve getting up quite early, generally with the sunrise. And then you kind of finish when the sun sets. So they're long days. Winter can be more telling than the rest with the mud, the frost, the ice, the snow. And you're caring for a large flock of sheep, but they're not for meat. My sheep are wool flocks. They're what we call a fibre flock. So they're like my friends, really. And in exchange for me looking after them, they give me their beautiful wool. And then I make things from their wool. So it's a demanding job, but it's a very fulfilling job. You're very close to nature. And I think it's where that, you know, the word happy comes in a lot, because if I wasn't happy doing this job, I think it could be quite miserable.
And let me ask you this. From your world with your sheep, what's the sound that makes you happy?
One is the sound of the sheep, just the sheep actually calling, talking to me. And the sound of lambs, because any day I'll be expecting to hear the first bleat of spring, and that makes my heart sort of soar, really. The sound of a curlew calling high above. Again, it's a call for spring. It's quite a haunting, piping sound. Skylarks, again, when they return to the moors, a quite beautiful sound above my head. And the thunder of waterfalls. And we have a lot of water here in the Dales, famous for waterfalls. And they make me incredibly happy.
Thanks to Alison. Email globalpodcast@bbc.co.uk. Send us a voice note if you can. Elephants are common features of temples in India, usually painted and attached by a chain to one of the front pillars. Animal rights activists say they're often treated harshly, and some temple elephants try to escape and end up running amok. 500 people were killed in the last 15 years in Kerala state alone. The solution could lie in a lifelike alternative, as Rachel Wright explains.
Oh, wow.
The moment the curtains were drawn back and the new elephant was revealed at a temple in the state of Kerala. The rituals and ceremony were unchanged, but the elephant was slightly different. Irinjadapalli Raman is run by electricity. Kushbu Gupta from PETA India was at the ceremony.
PETA India has donated this mechanical robotic elephant. His name is Irinjadapalli Raman. This is after the temple pledged that they will never keep or hire live elephants or any other animals for processions or any other purposes. This elephant can flap its ears, lift its trunk to give blessings. Even the pupils and the eyelid flashes. It wags its tail.
The robotic elephant can even squirt water at people through its trunk. PETA India made the decision because of what they say are the appalling conditions the temple elephants are kept in.
They're kept chained, forced to obey commands through beatings and weapons. Sometimes, you know, they continuously bob their head or swear their trunks in the air, which are signs of psychological distress. Unsurprisingly, many lash out in frustration, injuring and even killing nearby humans.
According to Action for Elephants UK, there are an estimated 800 elephants that are still held captive in India. PETA India hopes Irinjadapalli Raman will inspire other temples to use a mechanical animal and send the real elephants to live unchained in sanctuaries.
Rachel Wright reporting. Sundoku is a Japanese word which means acquiring books without actually ever getting round to reading them, something many of us are guilty of. The thing about Sundoku is that you can't easily translate it into other languages. Nigel Adderley has been looking for more words like that.
The Finns seem to have a flair for displaying a pragmatic approach to their language and developing words relevant to what goes on there. Kalsari Kanit is in the dictionary. Its rough translation is getting drunk in your pants and refers to the national tradition of drinking to excess at home whilst wearing only underwear. It's a word which even has its own emoji. The British have long been considered a nation of cures, but it's the Germans who talk about the active Ansteher, who are people who always seem to pick the right one and never get stuck behind the person counting out their change at the supermarket. If you're a parent, are you a flipper for Alda? That's a Swedish word, which translates as pinball parent and refers to those who give their children plenty of freedom. And here's what you've come up with.
Hi, my name is Anna Lejava and I'm from Tbilisi, Georgia. Georgian word that doesn't have translation in English is shemomejama, which means I didn't want to, but I accidentally ate it.
Hi, my name is Asun and I'm from Madrid in Spain. I wanted to tell you about one that we use in Spain that does not translate very well. It's sobremesa, and it's the time we spend still on the table, chatting away and having a drink after we were done eating. If it happens, it's usually a sign that everyone is having so much fun that no one wants to leave.
Thanks, Asim, and thanks, Anna Ujava. Thanks also to Junior in Germany, Madison in the US, Turgay in Austria and Pablo in Mexico for being part of the Happy Pod this week. We'd love you to get involved, so do tell us about the person who makes you happy or send us the sound you love to hear. The email address is globalpodcast@bbc.co.uk. And if you can send us a voice note, we might be able to include you next time. The Happy Squad, our studio director, Matt Cadman, producers Tracy Gordon and Olivia Noon, and editor Karen Martin. My name's Andrew Peach. Thank you for listening. The Happy Pod is back next week.
With DoorDash, you can now get even more delivered to your door. Groceries, self-care, restaurants, and snacks. With $0 delivery fees on your first order. Get more from your neighborhood delivered with DoorDash. Terms apply. Visit DoorDash.com.